Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Y'all, I'm so sorry. Just, okay.
I'll stop now, because we're going into a different tonality.
We're okay.
Sure. Isn't that clear now?
Okay, but no, we can't do this. We can't do
this. It's the most beautiful music, besides some of Tristan, that Wagner ever wrote.
And I'm sure
Dirty anti-Semite.
Wagner would have told you how beautiful it was, too.
He would have.
Because he was a fucking asshole.
What an egomaniac.
Oh. But
boy, there's so much beautiful music.
How long is Parsifal?
4.5 hours.
Wow.
At least 4 hours. It depends on how quickly you take some of the tempi.
You know, Wagner is, and yes, if you're going, Wagner, Carl, are they talking about Wagner?
Richard Wagner.
Wagner, like John Wagner, that guy that used to coach the basketball girl. I wonder if they're related.
As Captain Glenn called him, the German composer who wrote some opera or wrote an opera called Parsifal, and he is correct. It was written after about Sir Percival, who looked for the Holy Grail, one of Arthur's knights. And the piece is considered kind of Wagner's kind of a spiritual opera. There's some gorgeous moments in it. And it actually was only allowed to be performed at Bayreuth for like...
Performed at what?
Bayreuth, the festival. That's where in Germany.
A lot of us don't live in Germany or are composing opera. We don't know what the festivals Wagner played at.
Or don't know a lot of opera. Don't know a lot of opera history.
Like, literally, you said Bayreuth, like it was at... the same thing
Coachella.
As like Coachella. Yes, yes. It's not the same, poodle. God.
I just loved it when all of a sudden the... opera scholars probably screamed when someone talked about the opera Parsifal. Oh my God. Cause I did.
I didn't as much as you, but I went, oh, but then I thought about you getting excited about it. And I went, oh no.
I think I wrote a paper about it.
I mean, I'll say this about Wagner. Y'all, he'll edge you for 4.5 hours, just a slow edge. But
you will be edged.
But he will come at the end.
It's like they did the destruction of the world. It's like the ring cycle. At the end of Gooder Dameron, you are covered in splooge.
It's splooge.
And you're not be yours.
Yeah. Everyone, and you're exhausted.
Yes.
But you get there. You know, there's some composers that just edge you and then leave you.
It's like the woman who climaxed, supposedly, or who had an orgasm in Tchaikovsky's Fifth Symphony at the Walt Disney Concert Hall. And I'm like, maybe not that symphony, even though it's a great symphony.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, it happened.
What?
There was a story about a woman who orgasmed in the middle of, or in a production of what she was watching, a production of Tchaikovsky's, or a performance of Tchaikovsky's Fifth Symphony at the Walt Disney Concert Hall.
Why do people know that she orgasmed?
I think she told everyone, or maybe a woman beside her said, "I'll listen to what she's listening to." Like Harriet Sally.
That line was ad-libbed, by the way.
Yes, Estelle Reiner, Carl Reiner's wife.
His wife, yeah.
Was the one who did it. We're such old gays. Yo, this current is Blood Deck Sailing Yacht, BDSM.
Not only are we current references, Ernie, we're just dating back to the 1860s.
Not
or whenever Wagner was.
Yeah, you're right. Not only current references. I'm going to take you back to eccentricities of opera history. You're lucky I didn't tell you about the performance history of Parsifal, that it wasn't allowed to be performed outside of Bayreuth for a long time because Wagner didn't want it to be.
Clash and burn.
Clash and burn. And y'all,
this is a very special episode of Below Deck Sailing Yacht.
Do we want to do Eurovision first, or do we want to, I don't know, or do we want to do it at the end?
Again, kind of like someone at a Wagner opera. I think I'm just at your mercy of whatever you decide from your excitement.
I think if you started this podcast thinking you were getting a Below Deck recap and you heard the Good Friday music from Parsifal, you just turned us off.
You just went, wrong show.
I don't have patience for these queers today.
why don't we, because some people are going to care. Why don't we end with Eurovision? So that way, if people don't want to listen to all of Below, or all of, if they don't want to listen to Eurovision, they can change the channel.
I think that's fine. But I do understand it.
Because some people are confused or whatever. So we are going to begin with Below Deck Sailing Yacht.
I'm going to end with, and we'll put a time code. Where if you only came here, but listen to the whole episode, but if you only came here for the Eurovision recap, that's great too.
That's great too. So just press that fast forward button. That's fine.
Yeah.
If we had thought of it, we would give a little bit of the Eurovision, then talk about Below Deck, then a little bit of the Eurovision. But I don't think, once you start talking about it, your head's going to start spinning around and I don't think you'll be able to stop. That's pretty much what I think.
That's actually the Eurovision theme, not Wagner.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to wait. That's the Eurovision theme?
Yes! Charpentier's Te Deum. This is just me using my music degree.
Well, got it for something. All right, so let's talk about this.
Sorry, Charpentier, not Charpentier.
No one cares. No one just went, I'm going to leave a one-star review because Poodle pronounced that weird French name wrong.
God. He played the wrong part of the Good Friday music.
Yeah, no, we can't. Okay, so.
I don't have patience for these queers today. I can just see someone.
Yes, and
just
also.
To the funny.
Daisy has no patience for anyone on this ship because I think we talked about it. Daisy's done, right?
She's done. I think she's having a really bad season. I think she wasn't ready. I don't know. She had a rough season two as well. Season three was a little better, but I don't know. And remember, though, this is probably the first, and they have other. She goes to different boats throughout the year, so I think there were other things at work here. She and Gary spent a lot of time together. I think outside this season, they'd become friends, kind of after hating each other during season two,
yeah,
and kind of trying to get along better in season three. And they kind of became friends. And I think now, since he wasn't there in the beginning, he came in with a different kind of energy. And I think she was prepared for him to come in with good friend energy that they had achieved. And I think she's insecure because she has two stews who are a little green.
They are a little green.
I think she's, especially Lucy, it seems they're, like.
I think they're both hard workers and they get the job done, but they're very green.
And I feel like she's at a point where she's asking herself, I want my career to stand for something and I want to make a really good, because Daisy's self-worth is, like a lot of us, based on how well we show up in our own work and how well mm-hmm. we're respected on the daily. And it doesn't seem like Captain Glenn, for her, is validating her enough. And yeah. it's something that she needs. And she needs to be perfect all the time. She's had a rough time. Maybe she'll turn out of it this season better. But she's already having meltdowns. This happened in season two as well. So
okay.
This isn't the first time she's had meltdowns.
Okay.
She's always funny, though. That's at least...
Because it seems to me almost that just from... my perspective, kind of going off what you said about Gary and Daisy becoming friends, I wonder a little bit if it's a little bit of fame got to Gary and Daisy, because they really got a lot of like good press and good buzz about after last season.
Potential relationship.
Potential. But also wonder if they both, like, do you get, you've watched more seasons than I have, but do you get to a place on Below Deck when you become so famous and you become a reality star that you don't, and who would blame you? You don't want to do that job anymore. You just kind of want to be the reality star.
I think you have to have a lot of perspective if you do this for a couple of seasons. I think you could follow the Eddie model of being a golden retriever and just being there to have fun on the boat. Or you do the Kate Chastain model of, you know your brand and you're going to continue to do what you do because it's good money and you can have a little distance between your personal life and your life on camera. And it, I think it's all perspective. You may have something there. I think what I feel from Daisy, what I've always felt and why she's compelling is she really does, she doesn't have a lot of emotional boundaries.
No.
And that's extremely compelling. It's not going to get you the best manager. A lot of times.
Gary and Daisy both, I think, are doing bad jobs of managing the ship.
Yeah, Gary especially this season.
And
I really do think, I'm not sure, it may have gotten in Gary's head that he can do anything he wants.
The ship doesn't stink. That's what I feel like.
What I'm thinking, and maybe I'm just too, this is tinfoil Hattie again, and maybe the way I think about...
here she is, boys and girls.
Your favorite conspiracy theory drag queen, that they're trying to give him some type of arc where he realizes he was too big for his britches. And because I think they know too many people like Gary enough to have to do him shitty.
Yeah, it's a weird, but I mean good, and it's interesting. I like this season of BDSY, but we haven't seen an episode where the crews seem to kind of somewhat have all their shit together and their heads are just imploding.
Yeah, I think it's all the Gary and Daisy are letting their personal dynamics play out as the microcosm is playing out in the macrocosm.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Unfortunately. And I think, and Miss Colin is stirring the pot this season, ooh, y'all.
That is Miss big dick energy.
Miss Thing is stirring.
Ooh, with that big dick stirring. So,
but no, Colin's always been a gossip. He's always been, he's always been gossip. But both of them, but Colin especially has always getting in there and just like said what he thought, and always talking shit about people.
Yeah.
I still love him. I still say he's my favorite person on this series.
Oh, I love him.
With the exception of maybe Captain Glenn, big CG himself.
That's true. What's your first teabag? I forgot. I'm just going to put in my retainers.
Why couldn't we do it?
I forgot. I was just
finally, you sounded like you weren't doing a comedy routine.
Okay, I'm back.
Exactly.
Ready.
You don't realize that's what it sounds like every time.
I'm back.
My first teabag is I don't know if Alex thinks he's there to be on camera to be low key kind of slash sarcastic insulting. I don't know if he understands what his camera presence is, but like Lucy is kind of maybe, I don't think Lucy's kind of aware of herself, but she's instantly funny. She's like, I'm going to do some yoga, downward doggy. And he's like, that's child's pose.
He does. Sometimes I feel like he should be gay.
Well,
I'm not saying he's gay, but the way he says kind of like these dry, like sarcastic things.
It's bitchy energy. It is definitely bitchy gay energy.
I kind of like it.
That he throws in. He throws it in his confessionals too. It doesn't necessarily work on a boat. Can I mention something? And I finally realized why this is like a part B of my teabag. Chase's confessionals always feel like a roided up athlete who is screaming at the camera. It's very like Jersey Shore first season. It's like, and then I don't know what Gary wants me to do. I mean, come on, bro. I mean, do it or what? What do you think? Ugh, pose. I hate them.
that is how they said.
They're so practiced and they're so awful.
You know what I think it is? I think this guy was a dud and didn't have any. They thought he's cute and they thought he would be this kind of American, but he has nothing to offer and he takes himself too seriously.
And they're like, Chase, take that again with more energy. And so
I bet you he had to say things like five fucking times.
I mean, come on, Gary, throw me a bone here and not like a bone, like a dick. Chase, can you do it one more time? More energy, more arm movement. More head gibbering. I hate them. They are so overly practiced.
Yeah, it feels like he's giving an
audience member shout out at Jerry Springer to a guest. Yeah. It is Jersey Shore energy in all those confessionals.
I agree.
Anyway, sorry Jerry Springer. Rest in peace.
Jerry
away.
Springer died. Oh yeah, he just died. Poodle, what are your thoughts about buffalo wings and sans a bone bowl?
You know, I gotta, this crew is the department heads, especially neither one of them are American. So we don't know a tradition of, there's no traditions of bone bowls, with wings. I will say if they would have served olives, they would have probably bought a tiny bowl for the pits. But I think it's funny that the guest just requested buffalo wings, the most American thing possible.
I think it's a dumb when you're in fucking Italy to suggest that's trash.
Yeah, well, you're not going to get, I'm going to agree with you about that guest anyway. The embodiment of a human gold chain. This guy, Roy, you can smell the human growth hormone that he's giving himself.
I mean, he's not a dick. He's not a bad guy, but he's still not somebody I want to hang around with.
I think he is a dick, but he's not that bad. He's not abusive. But I just kind of roll my eye. It's the same. It's the low key shit of, well, you know how when you're in a really nice resort and like, you go into town and you're like, I want to go back to the resort. That's kind of what I feel like right now. I need to say that on camera so you can know what I feel.
Yeah.
It's a dick move. But he's in the pantheon of dickishness. He's somewhere in the middle. He's by no, still the guy who was on one of those. I'm gonna cut you. Like, what was the guy who screamed about? I had bitter fools at the ballpark.
Oh, the
remember
from
him?
the people from Houston.
Yeah.
Ooh. They were terrible.
No, there have been some really, really, or the woman who chanted with her cutlery, lunch, lunch, lunch,
trash.
Lunch.
Yeah. Yeah. He's not bad at all.
He's in the middle somewhere. But I consider this just a failure of both Daisy and Alicia not thinking that they that this is things that Americans are going to eat off the bones, because they probably don't do a lot of wings.
Probably not.
So Alex didn't. Alex, like, that's a in his like really like femmy gay. That's a failure. What did he say?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he was like, yeah, that's a failure.
That's a failure. Like, two strikes.
He said, it seems like a no brainer. Someone is dropping the ball.
Someone's dropping the ball. Yeah, he's definitely.
You would still filling, have sex with him.
Oh yeah, I would. He's definitely filling in the bitchiness, the bitchy requirement this season.
He's having to. And of course they radio about or text about it. That's the thing too, with that Daisy's not a good manager. It's like, well, this is later on, but it's like when she found out Gary was gonna go to dinner and she just goes, fuck!
No, that's one of my favorite things about
it. I love it.
She's fuck!
And even like when they emailed about the bone, she's like, oh my God, oh my
God,
be good. I'm so fucking over this. I'm like,
no, calm. I live for those moments.
Which, she's great TV, but to be around her as an employee, no. I would be on fucking eggshells all the time.
And her stews feel like they have to go after her.
Yes.
So it... I will agree. She's fun TV. Do I think she's the best manager? I don't think so.
No. Yeah.
But there are some people who do really like her. I go through periods where I enjoy her and periods where I find her exhausting. It's weird because I've always enjoyed Gary up until this season. I think either it is that he's getting a shitty edit before so they can give him a redemption arc, or he's going to have a crap season and he'll think twice about coming back, or next season will be his redemption. This is the way I'm thinking about it. This is a producer, because y'all, these shows they get so much footage. Everything is produced. It's not fake. It's just produced. There's a big difference.
That's true. That's true.
You got a lot of footage and you have to create a narrative. So my next tea bag, mine was about the bone dish as well.
Okay.
Hey, do you love your brother? Why don't you ever put him in your pictures on your Instagram? Because that's weird. It is.
It's weird. It's weird.
She's literally trying to curate her life as a 17 or 18 or 20, young 20 something.
Older.
Yeah. She's literally trying to be an Instagram model, and younger redheaded brothers do not belong in your bikini pics.
No. No, they don't. No, they don't.
Younger brothers don't belong in photos that say hashtag Sardinia vibes.
Yeah, you are never going to see me in one of Jake's Instagram pics.
Absolutely not. I'd crop out your head.
Exactly. It's not part of his brand.
It's not part of my brand. That
I mean,
little,
you don't post little, on Instagram.
That little
still.
Buster Murdaugh wannabe is I'm not one of our sissies said that, and I screamed. You don't know who that is, do you?
Murdaugh,
from the Murdaughs, from the South Carolina family.
Yeah,
yeah. That, I thought that was a little awful, but I've been laughing about it ever since.
I don't know what he looks like, but I assume, yes, the family.
It's a little redheaded kid. So anyway, he does not belong. I just thought it was the father's. Like, you don't love your brother. That was immediately a trial for her about how much she loves her sibling because he's not on her Instagram.
Yeah. You know,
this woman, that has nothing to do with it. She just needs to look like a hot bitch.
Exactly. I bet you her Instagram is just pictures up high, pouty face, all the good stuff. New makeup tips, shit like that.
I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
What book did John write? I'm dying to know. If that's someone can tell me.
That's a good question.
I know it was some kind of entrepreneurial shit. I am certain. Yeah, look up John from Below Deck Sailing Yacht Book.
I don't know. I don't
and
know.
And I'm quite sure it was self-published.
I don't
know. He did not get any type of like an advance.
His name is Sarasani. Let's see. John Sarasani, author. You know, I'm there's something wrong with me, but I look at his pictures.
You're wrong.
He's got that big football player energy that just and the kind of like
no, he's yeah, a douchebag.
No, he is. I know.
Do you ever wake up and think all the choices I've made romantically are wrong?
Yes. Yeah.
I'm going to hear to tell you, you're right. everything you need to change everything.
It's a I know it's a problem. The book.
Say it.
2000% raise.
There you go. Asked and answered. Entrepreneurial. Who's it published by?
It's the only book he wrote, but it's pre-orders. We don't even know.
That's self-publishing.
Yeah, I think it's self-publishing.
Now go, you can see it'll say like it might be by Amazon sometimes.
I don't see it on is it on Amazon? Yes, it is on Amazon. And 2000% raise, John uses his experiences in leaving corporate America to compete on his own as a step-by-step guide for the reader, giving them ammunition to pull the trigger and not only reevaluating the pitfalls of working for someone else, but also how to be successful against much larger employers when working for themselves.
Do we still have that infomercial music? Or do you take it off?
We still have it. Yeah. No, we took it off.
Oh, never
took
mind. It off. God damn it.
Well, you know, we can't have 20 different sound effects. I'm not the fucking robot from The Mandalorian that can just do whatever you want at will.
Well, let it be known, y'all. This is a self-published book. And I mean, great. This is Vanity Publications. Sometimes you want to write a book about your life. You got enough money to do it.
Great.
Sometimes you're a human necklace that needs to say things you've learned.
Yes.
Good for you.
Great.
Bully. Okay, that's all I wanted to say. It's what kind of book?
I want to say they rolled the receipts. Gary said 3:30 and then told Chase 2:30. Gary's just fucking trolling Chase because he can't stand him. 100%.
You think he just hates him?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think. Yeah, okay. I just think it's a power play.
But I don't know if I don't think he hates him. Actually, I don't think Gary hates anyone. I don't think he thinks about anyone that deeply.
Yeah.
I think Gary, though, is swinging his dick. He's wrong.
I do think he's one of the deckhands who Chase brings a certain energy that I know what I'm doing and doesn't ask Gary for approval or if it doesn't ask what he should do. And Gary is threatened by that.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and this is kind of the second part of this teabag because it happened right after. Is Mads the hero we all need because she's Gary and Gary?
Oh, I love her. She's my favorite person on the boat this season, by the way.
Same. Same. When she said, Gary love bombing me and all this affection is so cringy. Yuck.
I think she has enough of a bird's eye view of her experience on the boat, and she's not getting swept into boat drama.
No.
Now, I guarantee you, when she drinks, all that perspective goes out the window, and she becomes fun mads again, and she just wants to get hers. But right now, she is very much kind of in her body and standing up for what she believes, which I kind of love. She's only going to hook up with Gary again if she's drunk.
Yeah, and she will hook up with him. And then the next day when he tries to be all love, she's like, I told you that's not what I do.
Yeah.
I love that she, I mean, as she says, Gary doesn't get me at all. The confidence she has, if I had that confidence when I was that young, oh my God, I'd be doing this podcast on a yacht right now.
What I think is interesting is how a lot of times women who fall for Gary kind of they kind of de-age themselves. They get younger and younger and younger to his persona. And she's just not doing that.
No.
When she's sober. Which is better than Ashley did last season. Ooh, or some of the stews in season 2. I always forget their names. They're forgettable.
Oh, they are forgettable. You know what? We should take a little break and we'll be right back.
The minute you walked in the joint, I could see you were a man of distinction, a real big spender.
Uh-oh, y'all. Poodle is singing seductive songs. That must mean we're about to go out on tour again. Ugh, sissy husbands, beware.
Whatever Poodle wants, Poodle gets. Well, you're right about one thing, Maddie. We are going out on tour, but that's not the only reason I'm positively randy. I have spring fever.
Is that something that a trip to the clinic or an antibiotic can fix?
Afraid not. When Piano Cat senses the weather getting warmer, she knows it's time to jettison those jackets and sweaters for items that show a little more skin.
Well, I hate to tell you, Poods, but you still have to cover up a little with those tour costumes. In Chicago, you were actually cited for obscenity.
Fascists! I will wear what I want and no one can stop Poodle Boudreaux!
They said next time it would be $1,000 fine.
Maybe I could cover up a little bit. Leave something to the men's imaginations, but I don't want to wear too much. You know how I get hot.
Well, Piano Cat, I think it's your lucky day. Have you seen the new spring stuff at Quince? They have all the seasonal must-haves, like 100% European linen shirts from $30, performance polos, and versatile flow-knit activewear.
Ooh, I love those Quince performance polos. They're so soft and sumptuous, and they cut my body in all the right places. They're also great for when my daddy and I do country club tennis role play. Mixed doubles indeed.
Wow. As I was saying, with Quince, you can say goodbye to wasting money on clothes that it would only last one season. They've got high-quality pieces that never go out of style that you'll be wearing year after year. I love my blue cashmere hoodie. It's perfect for warm spring days and cool spring nights.
And people can't stop complimenting me on my leather cafe racer jacket that I've been wearing on our live shows. It's super chic and fitted and perfect for keeping me warm in those drafty northeastern backstage areas.
And the best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes.
I love that. But Maddie, I don't think that Quince has cured my spring fever. It's only made it worse. Bring on the men.
Yike. Sissies, upgrade your wardrobe. Go to quince.com/realitygaze for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/realitygaze to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/realitygaze.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment.
Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC.
Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com.
That's Juvederm.com.
Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching.
There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Poodle, you know when you're listening to a song on the radio and you get the profound feeling that the song playing was written about you?
Oh, it's not a feeling. I know a lot of songs are written about me.
What?
Yeah, when they get a little bite of Poodle, it's hard to let go. There are too many songs to even elaborate on.
That's fine. You don't have to tell us about them.
You know, the song The Scientist about me?
You slept with Chris Martin?
Coldplay.
I know he's from Coldplay.
No, I slept with Coldplay. All of them. Keep up. Lionel Richie, he was stuck on me from the very beginning. Who do you think suggested Nicole should go to boarding school?
Okay, we get it. No, Poodle, I bring this up because apparently you know what it's like to have a song written just for you, but for the rest of us mere mortals.
Your words.
Imagine having the power to gift that same incredible feeling to someone you love with an original song from Songfinch that actually is written just for them. Sissies, Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and it lasts forever.
Oh, I love this idea. Flowers die, chocolates melt, but a song is eternal. Unless it's a poorly written song, then bury that thing forever.
Agreed. But I have to say, the songs from Songfinch are really fantastic. They're thoughtful, and they sound like something you would hear on the radio.
Okay, but is it hard to set up? Probably takes a lot of work, right?
Not at all. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
Well, that sounds easy enough.
I know. I just submitted a song request for something I want to use on our tour, and I cannot wait to get it back. And based on the sample recordings I heard when I was choosing the singer, it's going to be so good. I also love that they had unique add-ons that make the gift even more special, like a vinyl record of your song or a one-of-a-kind art piece made from your lyrics. Or you could even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Well, Maddie, I want to have a song written about me.
But Poodle, you just said you had.
I want more.
Hush. Sissies, whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, or an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their songs to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime. Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us too. songfinch.com/realitygaze.
You know, Manny, this reminds me. You know that song from the Four Tops? Can't Help Myself?
Oh, I love that song. Sugar Pie Honey Bunch.
Yep, about me. And the funny thing is, they really are Four Tops.
Hey, let me have a Bloody Mary. What is it? What did it say? The tail of the cat? The tail of the cat that bit you? The tail of the cat. You know, when you step on the tail of the cat and the cat bites you. Isn't that in it? Fucking idiot.
Hair of the dog.
I did Hair enjoy the dog. It.
I enjoyed, what was this is later on, but I enjoyed, what is it? My name is John. I'm on a boat. My chain's so heavy. It hurt my throat.
I don't enjoy that. I just am like, it would be one of those.
And then when he's trying to talk to Captain Glenn while he was docking.
And Glenn's like, it's like, yeah, I got a house in, Puerto Vallarta, blah, blah, blah. And Glenn's like, I really need to dock the boat so right
sorry.
Now. So sorry.
Sorry. You know that Caitlin was watching it and going, God, he's so fucking Canadian now.
Even Glenn was polite in telling him to shut the fuck up.
What would Captain Sandy, because Lee would have been like, yeah, get the fuck away. What would Sandy have said to him?
Are you allowed here, sir? Yeah. I'm actually taking people's lives into my hands right now. Hey, producer, can you get him away from me? You know I don't talk with people, right? When I want to engage, I do. Thanks. No,
he would have never been allowed.
Yeah.
Also, Sandy could never, even if Sandy could never take the close personal space time to do BDSY. She could never do that.
Oh, well, no. I don't think Lee could have either. But sorry, I was jumping ahead a little bit, but let's talk about Lucy melted the dress, y'all.
I have to say,
that's a poodle move. You would do that.
If they read it correctly and it said ironing is possible, that's not their fault. Now, it looks like Lucy was trying to steam the dress, but she actually touched the iron to it, which I would, well, that's the problem. But
that's the problem.
If it says iron on the garment, that I would take that back. I would tell, if I would have been Daisy, I would have told that woman. And I will say, Daisy was as professional as she could have been by saying, I'm so sorry we did this. I will reimburse you. You have my apologies.
She did.
And the guest took it pretty well. She still wore it. If you saw later on.
She did.
Now, I don't know how expensive this garment was because it looked pretty diaphanous. But you're right.
Know what those dresses could be cheap, or those dresses are
could be $2,000, like $400, like that, probably,
because it could be like part of beach wear, you know.
But I to me, if I'm going to give someone something that I know either can't be ironed, I think I might try to handle it myself. I don't know. That's me.
Again, you and I are not, we need to be, I was going to say we are not meant for this luxury life. And I've decided we need to change that because y'all, Channy's talking this week about abundance coming in your life. And I realize it's not about it's about me having to know that I'm okay to accept abundance. Maybe you and I need to take a luxury trip.
I just took one.
And just be waiting. And waited on hand and foot. Were you waited on by hand and foot?
Two hosts who were there. This big gate opened up and we went in.
Wow.
I'm there already, so do whatever Channy wants.
Then you're just a hypocrite because you keep saying, I can never do this on the boat.
I'm out there living that rich white lady life.
You would want this steamed. You would want this. You would want espresso martinis brought up to you from the boat.
Mexico this weekend, and the gentleman I'm seeing had a couple of inns with hospitality, and we were able to get a weekend for a remarkable rate. And this resort was real nice.
You were insufferable, weren't you?
No. But I will say, if I lived that way all the time, I'd become a monster more than I already am.
I'm glad you just finally admitted it. I've been waiting 4 years for that.
I did say out of the pool one time when they brought me a drink, I looked around and I was just like, well, there's four people standing there. I put my drink down. It's empty.
Wow.
I didn't say it out loud, but I remember thinking it.
Wow. But you thought it. That's even, just another step.
But there were four people. They were standing around.
I can't travel with you. That seals it.
And it only took about 30 seconds for them to see that I'd finished my drink and after me bring me another one.
30 seconds too long.
Hey, fucking men.
In your opinion.
Wow. I just shook my ice in the glass. We need to move on. I'm uncomfortable. I will say, having that treatment, I'd never experienced that before. I'd never been to some place where I was like, where I wasn't seen as just like a herd of guests. It was interesting. It was very interesting.
Mm.
Yeah.
Whoa. Let's see. There's a little bit of, okay. John wants to suck Gary's dick,
you
right?
You know what? Gary represents...
Just look at Gary over there. God, what a
Gary
charismatic
represents
guy.
Everything that John wishes he was in his youth. And he sees...
That's what I wrote.
Part of him sees himself still as Gary. And these men who have means, which John seems like he does, you don't lack for anything except youth. So he's looking at Gary and seeing something he wishes he could be again, and seeing something in himself it's a mirror. He's like charisma. That is the word that straight men want to use when they want to fuck a guy. It's the non-sexual I want to fuck you word. Good. He's got charisma.
I thought he was about to say uniqueness, nerve, and talent. And I was going to go, yeah.
I would definitely like to be alone with Gary's charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent.
Did you see there's a clip of Pedro Pascal talking about how much he loves Monet Exchange and Drag Race? And literally, he talks about a quote from Paris is Burning. I wrote, I can't love this man anymore.
No, my love for him surpasses almost all things. I love him more than Maurice Ravel.
Wow. Yeah.
Not Ravel's music, though. That's a whole other level. But the person.
Okay, so let's keep moving,
for me.
We've got
yeah.
Oh, wow.
The only thing, I don't have anything else for what do you think about the tip meeting when Glenn is kind of talking about injuries, keeping a better eye? This is the thing. I think in previous seasons, Daisy has been able to kind of get by, but she has never handled criticism well. It's just never. Yeah.
Never, 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 never. She's always defensive about it. She's very defensive, very, very defensive, period.
What did you think, though? This just tells you who Gary is. The first thing when she went away, Gary, without even left everyone there and hugged Daisy and wouldn't let her go. He just knew that he knows her, and she needed comforting at that moment. Regardless.
He knows her, but it's a little bit of like, he cares about her, but it's just, they're fucking in just to a mess relationship.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
And honestly, I was with Colin. Colin was right. Like the way that like when he told Gary that was a dick move to go have a cigarette. And then when he brings up, I thought Colin was being, when he was talking about, we need to be in a place where we can take constructive criticism. And Daisy goes off and is like, ew, they don't know, fuck you. And they don't know the pressure I'm under. And I thought, Colin fucking rebuilt the goddamn boat in one day.
That's pressure. This sailing yacht has always been full of drama queens because they're just too close together. And all of the department heads are kind of enmeshed, like you said. They're all a little bit like brother and sister that fight. And they love each other a lot, and they fight a lot. And which is it's still why it's my favorite franchise.
But Colin brought the boat to life. Sit down, Daisy, and sit down, Gary. He can say what he fucking wants.
Preach.
That's what I think. Now slap that dick on my face, Colin, and call me your little buoy.
Ding, 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 ding. I kind of got sick and laughed there at the end. Can we just do the Eurovision corner now?
I think, is there anything else I wanted to talk about? Oh, I wanted to talk about the girls' outfits, and I wanted to talk about how much they got for the tip. Fine. Just do this goddamn Eurovision corner.
Hey!
Boy, really on time.
It's Poodle's Eurovision corner, final installment. Part 3. The finale.
Ireland,
yes,
Sweden.
Sweden won.
Sweden. maybe. Wasn't really
Sweden
listening,
won,
to be fair.
And I called it, I thought Finland would be the runner-up. And I wasn't sure if Finland was. Honestly, I will say this about this year.
Ireland didn't do well.
I've been very hard on Ireland in this thing because the submission this year was laughable. But their submissions for the last 4 to 5 years have been laughable. Someone did point out, and they're correct, before I started watching Eurovision, Ireland won the most times, especially in the late 70s, 80s, and some of the 90s. But they haven't had a good winner in a long time. And then they brought out Dustin the Turkey, and it's a whole thing. Now, and I know the Irish can take a joke better than anyone in the world, and I love that about them. And but their submissions the last 6-7 years have been laughable. It's been rough. Anyway, so this year, what I want to talk about in general about this year of Eurovision, and I'm so glad so many people have told me, I've just gotten into this because you were talking about it. I'm so happy to give you the gift of the craziness, the madness that is Eurovision. This year was a weird year, I think. It was definitely a meh year in general. Now that I'm seeing it on the finale and knew how that went. It's one of those things how I could hear... Like every year, I listen to the songs first, and I usually choose 1, 2, 3 of them that will be kind of up there. And usually I hit 2 out of 3, and one's always a surprise that people like. But
2 out of 3
exactly.
Ain't bad.
Listening, I think I said this before. I said Sweden is catchy, Tattoo is catchy, Finland because of the nature and what he was wearing, and it was just kind of like out of nowhere, pit like holding on to the zeitgeist kind of song of craziness. And I thought if it was a jokier, Croatia might win with all the dictators dressed like Hitler, looking with lipstick. But I want to talk about in general. The final, when I said it's kind of a mad year, there's been a lot of criticism about Lorraine winning because she'd already won before from Sweden. But I honestly think it was the Finland song was good, but it was just kind of different. It was a fun song.
Was it mad because of the outfits? They weren't like bold, or
both,
mad because of the music?
Both. There
both?
Wasn't a lot of crazy shit this year, unfortunately. I also wrote down, here's some thoughts from the final. Hannah Waddingham, which I kept saying Waddington because I never watched Ted Lasso. But Hannah Waddingham, I'm sorry. I think like Paddington. Hannah Waddingham is padded like a drag queen.
And, good for her.
I just want to talk about a little bit, just about some of my favorites in the final. Austria's song about Edgar Allan Poe, I loved. It was weird. Who the hell is Edgar? It's very Missy Elliott, Robert Palmer video aesthetic.
Oh.
I hated the Switzerland song about water guns and how the song metaphors about war are so clumsy. And one thing I kept saying this year, and this is a kind of common Eurovision complaint, I kept down, when is this styling? When are we? Is this late 90s? Oh. Is this mid 2000s? When is this styling?
Like, not in, it wasn't in a good
no.
retro way. It was
yeah.
just looked outdated.
Not even dated. It's like, it's hard to explain. I do need to point out, and I need to apologize to some of the France fans, because I hated the song by Lazara, Évidemment, when I first heard it. And then I got to where my gentleman friend, the man who I've been seeing, kind of liked the song. And I was like, I don't want to listen to it anymore. And then I looked at the lyric. I'm like, okay, I'm liking this more. Yuck. And then I really liked it. And I was shocked they did so poorly in the final. If you don't know, you don't know. But a lot of times they – so the Eurovision jury gives 50% of the vote and the public gives 50% of the vote.
There's a jury like with nine people?
I don't know if it's a jury of nine
or 12.
But but like a bunch of
– Who's in the jury?
I don't know. It's like –
Well, what do you mean a jury?
It's like selected by the people.
Is there a board of Eurovisitors or whatever?
Eurovision. I'm sure it's like
Prince Charles is on, or King Charles.
I don't think he's on it, but I'm sure it's like music people in the know.
Hedda Gabler. I don't know who's on
That's
it.
That's a play. The guy from Cyprus was really hot, and I wrote down, all I see is arms, the falsetto is nice, the vocals are decent, but the song is bad.
Is Cyprus a country?
Cyprus is a country off of Greece.
Really?
Yes. We got to get you
Look
that out.
Look at that! I thought it was just a type of herb you burned, or tree. Is that where Cyprus trees come from?
I'm moving on, because these are stupid
questions. No, seriously.
Spain, I hated this song, and this is a Big Five song, and I hated it. And this is a pop song contest, two ambient, six.
What's the song called?
Ea. Oh. E-A-E-A. It was very Balkan, but I'm like, this is a pop song contest. The Italy song by Marco Mengoni, he's hot, and I had a problem with the styling, that this is just an I said, this is an ice dancing outfit. He looks very uncomfortable in this like glittery. And I said, this is what you show up for at an event in West Hollywood.
He is hot. Whoa.
And And they had this random two guys in the staircase behind him. And the vocals were good. He got emotional at the end. I did give him a good score, but I said, he's going to get sympathy vote. What you also need to know about the jury votes for this is it's kind of based on geopolitical allyship. So a lot of times if you're Cyprus, you're going to give your points to Greece because they're your neighbors. Oh, so they won't bomb you or take care of you in good times.
The Italian guy is gay, right?
No.
God, you really can't tell based off of his Instagram.
So why? Because it's all like him shirtless.
Yeah, you keep talking. I went down a wormhole of Marco Mengoni.
So
give me that baloney.
Wormhole is a
whatever.
Wormhole is a different thing. So
wormhole is what I call it because it swallows you whole. Oh,
Wow. Other Big Five. The UK song I really liked. Was she says, and then I wrote a song about how you did me wrong. And about like a guy cheating on her. I really liked it. It got nowhere in the finals. I think she didn't do enough on the stage. What a song I was surprised that did well was a song called Unicorn by Israel. And I read the fuck out of this song. I said that if you're going to have a song about called Unicorn, it needed to do more things than just say I'm a unicorn and talk about how great I am. It needed more metaphors. Also, there was this part of the song, I'm a phenomenal. I'm like, that's another song. It's like a whole other hook. It annoyed me. I have another thing where the juries are they're announcing their jury votes, and I wrote, why does Iceland always make it weird? Always. And I joke about, again, this is an exercise in geopolitics, which the whole thing is. I was shocked at Belgium getting votes because that was the song where it was like a white soul singer with like tons of black backup singers, which I thought was positively colonial, especially when it relates to Belgium. Yeah. And anyway, a couple of other surprises. Australia was awful and people still voted for them. And I said a lot of countries had no taste. Those are the ones who gave it to Belgium. Surprises?
Well, don't some countries do well because they have a larger population, so people vote more?
Not the jury.
But that's half of their score.
True, but you cannot vote for your own country.
Oh, for the jury.
Yeah, no. Listen, for the popular vote.
So
you can't vote for your own country. And you also can't vote for your own jury.
So people on their phones can't vote for the country they're in?
Nope.
They monitor where their phone is, and when they text them, they can't. If they live in the UK, they can't vote for the UK?
Yes, that is correct.
That? No.
Yes.
You are putting me on.
No, I'm not.
So, like, That would
so then it's not a popularity
that
contest.
Would be like so they have a tech y'all they have technology to do that. So you mean that they could say anybody from Oklahoma can't vote for Carrie Underwood just because it's a popularity contest and they wouldn't let them?
Yes, and I think it's pretty
that's
fair.
Amazing. I think we should do that here.
There have been people who say
golly.
That 75%, they think it should go to 75% popular vote and very little jury vote. Remember, though, the Eurovision competition was built on people who were songwriters, and the jury was supposed to take songwriting into place, and the public would not think about
songwriting. So people are like ABBA are on the jury?
Yes, sometimes.
I'm Googling who's on the Eurovision jury. I think this is important.
I've never looked at it.
Well, golly, so, I guess you just don't analyze what's happening.
Maybe. But I want to say also the audience, the Eurovision audience who was there kept screaming about Cha-Cha-Cha, the Finland song. And they kept bringing it up like soccer hooligans. And Hannah Wadding was like, shh, be respectful. And so there was a lot of pro-Finland. And I thought I grew to love the Finland song. I think it's really fun. But they got a ton of popular vote. And it was in between Sweden and Finland at the very end. And Loreen got enough popular vote. She got the second amount of popular vote.
Oh.
And
wow,
but she got the highest jury vote.
Well, this is really, it says... a jury must be appointed by the broadcaster to vote in the semifinals. They must consist of five members.
The BBC, yeah.
Five members from the music industry, a singer, yes. A DJ, composer, lyricist, or producer, and must have a fair balance of age. But it doesn't tell you who they are.
It may be different, yeah. So what I was going to say is there are a lot of people, more of a populist vein, saying it shouldn't be the jury. It should be the popular vote. And so that's been gotten a lot of stuff this year. And it's
because American Idol is just popular vote, right?
Yes, but I don't want to wade into that because I think there are ways the producers can weight things to do whatever they want to. It's kind of like Nigel Lithgow saying, I want this person and we'll make it happen. Do I think Eurovision's a lot more fair than American Idol? Yes.
Nigel's dead, isn't he?
Nigel Lithgow? No! Come on. Okay. No, no, no. We need to talk about you not saying things like that.
So You Think You Can Dance is still going. I just got a book, by the way. I should tell sissies.
This is not over.
Oh, okay. Well,
why are you trying to segue?
Well, no, it's So You Think You Can Dance related. I got a Mark. You know Mark from So You Think You Can Dance? Mark Kinamura?
Yeah,
he wrote a book called I Am a Rainbow. It's a children's book, and it's based off of like him doing all of his Instagram. So, sissies, it's a get yourself a kid's book. Mark Kinamura.
Are they a sponsor?
You love Mark. You've said on many occasions that you love him. And
yes,
you would try to have sex with him.
We're not promoting his book. We're not promoting
his
book.
We are right now called I Am a Rainbow. Buy it wherever it's sold in stores.
We're not getting – anyway – I want to say this season, this competition was exciting. I think it was kind of wasn't as big as some years have been because I thought it was going to be down to Sweden and Finland. A lot of people thought
I feel
that.
Like, too, you wanted like Katy Perry coming out of the Super Bowl, like you wanted them riding in on it like a dinosaur or some shit like that, and you didn't really get that.
No, I wanted more Cuckoo Magoo. Last year was also a kind of a meh year, but we got more crazy shit. I also think there was a lot more, I think because Loreen she's a superstar already on the world stage. And I think there was a lot of people saying they don't want her to win again, because she won it before. I get that, but at the same time, the guy who was the runner up to Loreen said, I love Loreen. And then Karaya, I think is his name. But the thing is, y'all, don't worry about Karaya from Finland. He got what he wanted. He got tons of fame. He's going to do really well in Finland and through most of Europe and for other people who don't have any taste. but he's going to be fine. The song was catchy. It's about, I've looked at the lyrics, it's about drinking and having pina coladas after work and just loving life.
Hey, nothing wrong with that.
And also, do I think that Tattoo was the best song in 5 years? I do not. I think her song Euphoria was a better song that she won for before.
I didn't like the Tattoo song. I listened to it. I thought it was sad. Thought it was boring.
Thank you. Thank you for, if you say it's sad, I would want you need to listen to the rest of the songs before you can.
Well, I'm just saying, I saw that one and I thought, well, I'll watch one of these songs. Maybe this is one who, and that's the one I happened to watch. And she's in this box thing going up, boring.
You can't have an opinion. What? You're not allowed to talk in the rest of these corners.
I just think it could have been more exciting.
I'm going to agree with you there. But in comparison to the other things, you're incorrect.
What a snooze show then. I'm glad you make it sound exciting when you talk about it.
It is exciting. You're not helping. That is the conclusion of my Eurovision corner, which you have ruined. Anyway, we'll see.
In another 4 years, we'll do it again.
Some of the other acts I wrote down.
4 years or is it every year? Is this every
year? It's every
they
year.
Do this every year. This is a lot.
Yeah. It's every year. Next year will be in Sweden because the host, the country that wins is the host country next year. Yep.
Well, we should go.
And Ukraine couldn't host. Couldn't host this year.
They're busy
because of the war. Yeah. That's the show.
Do you feel better now?
I do. I feel like there was more things I had to say, but I was being rushed by you.
I wasn't rushing you at all.
You were asking terrible questions. But I was.
Next year, I'm just going to go to the bathroom and let you finish out the show.
I'd love that. I still feel like Iceland's song called Power was a really fun song with great vocals that was robbed because they didn't make the final. And I really enjoyed the Edgar Allan Poe song. I liked, Ivan liked the French song. The German song, by the way, the Lord of the whatever the fuck it is, Blood and Glitter. No. Stop it. Do better, Germany. It's too German. Anyway. Till next time. Till next year, y'all. The Eurovision Corner is closed.
All right, everybody. That's been your Below Deck Eurovision Corner. Next year, I'll go on vacation. I'll go to Mexico when they're doing this. So that way, you can just do whatever you need to do.
You can go off to fucking Cancun.
Sure. We're going to be back at it this week. Poodle is invigorated from Eurovision in Mexico. So I don't know what the week's going to hold in store for y'all. But all I'm going to say is, hold on. Because we're going to go, bitches. All right, go to Reality Gaze.
I am invigorated.
Good. Go to realitygaze.com. That's where you can find all of our shiznit. Follow us on Instagram, TikTok. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. And y'all, we will see you next time. But until then, Poodle, we can't say anchors a gay, so you've got to figure out a way to end this because you want to do Eurovision.
Until then, who the hell is Edgar? No one will understand that.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.